Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:18 in that specific summer time, and as far as I can make out, about 6:20 in the morning in the UK. And I thought that it was appropriate to record an additional audio for today in view of the fact that the UK has in fact voted to leave the EU, which as someone with a libertarian political philosophy, I'm very much supportive of the UK's ability to express the democratic will of the people and the willingness of Whitehall to abide by the people's will, which is certainly a mark in favour of the UK. But what I'm perhaps not so surprised by is the media commentary, which it continues to look on this as a cataclysm for the UK. But the thing that that pops to mind most immediately is that the pound at present is down, and down extremely significantly. It hasn't been down this low since 1985. It's down 14, over 14 cents at 134.09, and therefore UK exporters have just seen their competitiveness improve remarkably. At the same time, the FTSE, which is still trading because traders were kept at their desks tonight, the FTSE 100 is down 8.5%, or just about 8.5% on the futures. Now, none of the European futures are still open, but the Nikkei is also down 8%, and the yen has rallied significantly. It touched very briefly, it was stronger than 100 yen to the dollar. The low was at 99, and it is currently trading at 101.5. So a little bit off the peak in here today for the yen. And of course, there is now a short-term overbought condition, and it is in the region of a previous low. If the FTSE is down 8% and the Nikkei is down 8%, the Hang Seng is down 6%, the CSI 300 after the lunch break is now below 3,000 at 29.90. It's down 2%. So it's going to be a big question whether the administration steps in to continue to support that 3,000 level. The ASX in Australia is down 3%. Now, I'm very keen to highlight some differences here, because where is the focus of risk? This is something we talk about quite a lot at the chart seminar, that when you have an event like this, where is the epicenter of risk? And then the really big question, and I think it is really where the subtlety is here, is the epicenter of risk in the UK, or is it in the Eurozone? Because we are already starting to see commentary by French politicians and German politicians, and most particularly Italian politicians, where the bad loans crisis is so large, and where a bailout of and a recapitalization of the banking sector is being imposed on the public, and people starting to ask the very relevant question, why don't they get the opportunity to vote on some of these measures? So then the real question is whether the epicenter of risk is in the Eurozone or whether it's in the UK. The UK is down 8%. The pound is down 10%. So in nominal terms, the UK, the FTSE 100 is down 8%. But in, for example, US dollar terms, it's down significantly more than that. But of course, the FTSE 100 is not a UK index. The FTSE 350 is more representative of the UK market. The FTSE 100 is jam-packed with international business, many of which are autonomies. And they're going to see their significant foreign earnings being redenominated into a much weaker currency. So any real big drawdown tomorrow morning off the open is likely to be viewed as a buying opportunity by long-term investors, and not least because some of these companies have significant yields. Royal Dutch Shell yields over 6%, and a number of shares yield in excess of 3%. And I'm just going to pull up the yield on the index And this is, of course, before you factor in that it has fallen 8% on the future. But the dividend yield on the FTSE 100 is 4.4%. Now, with bond prices rallying the way they are, 4.4% is a lot more attractive today than it was yesterday. And the U.S. treasuries are stronger today by over, and this is, of course, in the futures market, they're up by 6 points, which takes the yield down to 145, which is within 8 basis points of the low that we saw in 2012. Now, when we look at this, there is a great deal of panic. There is people very worried indeed. And if we stretch, if we just look at the medium-term charts, then most of those European indices have been trending lower for over a year already. And many of them now are encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, and there is potential for additional weakness. The UK benefited enormously during the financial crisis by devaluing the currency first, and then was subsequently able to recover faster. And I'm reminded of that right now, because the UK is obviously devaluing its currency first, and that's going to combat deflation. In fact, that might stoke inflation. And when you think about all the debt that's been taken on, then one of the ways to deal with it would be to outright inflation. So I don't think that the pound is going to be the only currency where people really want to get a weaker one. And we're already seeing some of the commodity currencies, which have been so firm, begin to pull back in here. And the Aussie dollar is down almost 3 cents. The Canadian dollar is down more than 3 cents. And gold is up $73. So that's breaking out. And while it might be a little bit off the intraday peak, then there is ample potential for this to sustain the breakout, because however bad the outlook is for stock markets, we know that central banks are going to be printing, and this isn't the kind of situation where the plunge protection team or its equivalent anywhere else is going to be active, because S&P futures are down almost 5% and trading right around the 2000 level as I speak. So we're going to see some very large pullbacks. And I was just having a conversation with a friend who raised an important point. He's also a subscriber, and he asked a very relevant question, and it was, how are ETFs going to respond when the market opens? And then that's a very significant question, because we know what happened in August, and we know what happened in January, when we had a catalyst for people to for stops to get hit, for automatic trading systems and high frequency traders, and a spike in volatility that will necessitate that position sizes are reduced. That then what we're going to get is automatic trading systems preying on that, and then how well are ETFs going to be able to find the liquidity to trade in this environment, and that's where the real risk is. It isn't necessarily in the economic fate of the UK. The UK is going to be just fine. They're going to save over £2 billion a year, and it is still a highly competitive and increasingly competitive, considering how much the pound has already fallen, export trading economy. So yes, there are obviously going to be challenges, and this is going to be a rocky year, but there is absolutely no reason to doubt that the UK isn't going to prosper in future, but that is predicated, of course, on being smart with how negotiations go ahead. And of course, it is also worth considering that it isn't like the UK is going to leave the EU tomorrow, but rather that there is going to be a lengthy process of negotiation, which could potentially take years. So then, yes, we are definitely getting a panicky environment right now, but this is going to be a long, drawn-out procedure. And there are going to be significant ramifications. So I think that perhaps the we're going to get a lot of volatility in the next few days, but this is perhaps going to give us one of the best buying opportunities for internationally oriented companies that we've seen in years. And that is something to keep very much in mind. It's also likely to act as a catalyst for additional upside in precious metals because of the textbook response of central banks will be to print. And it is very much open to question just how well the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank can maintain negative rates in an environment where they are going to be forced to print money with abandon. Now, I would continue to think that we are at risk here, that there is going to be a problem with ETFs. I think that is the biggest risk that there is outstanding right now when the market opens in about an hour and a half. And that would suggest that one of the best ways to benefit from it would be to have calls way below the market. This has been something that we've talked about previously, and not least following what happened in August of last year, that the best way to benefit from that was to have calls way below the market and or to have buy orders to take advantage of a spike in volatility, because the VIX is going to pop on the upside tomorrow, and that is going to have a knock-on effect for automated trading systems. But I don't believe that this is going to be the end of the world for the UK, but it is going to act as a headwind for stock markets, and not least because we've already been in a corrective environment for quite some time. And really, the market has been in need of a catalyst to push markets higher in the form of additional easing by central banks. But this is going to ask very large questions about Europe. So that's going to be a very large issue. And then what we're also going to have is the fact that people are going to look at corporate profits and say that they're pretty rich already, and that valuations are certainly not cheap. So then it really is worth keeping an eye on some of those shares that have got high yields, because some of those yields are going to go up quite a bit tomorrow. And we are going to be presented with buying opportunities. But I think it is time to be judicious rather than going out and buying everything right away. But rather, now is not a bad time to be thinking about an opportunity to get in on an incremental basis, so that if there is additional downside, that one is buying more on a cost averaging basis, for example. And I really do think that the focus of risk is going to be in the Eurozone, because I think this is really only the beginning of the story, not the end. And it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow, but I thought that it was appropriate to record an additional audio in here, because this is definitely going to result in stops being triggered and a very panicky environment. But I firmly believe that it is the time to start thinking about bargain hunting, because we are going to be presented with attractive bargains, and particularly among UK-listed autonomies tomorrow. And potentially over the next few weeks. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.